Petzl. It's Petzl 30, Don.
Tread brightly.
Ooh, that was good.
No, that's theirs.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, no wonder it's good.
Exactly.
A marketing genius came up with that. I want to talk about one of the headlamps that I just tried out this last week. It is the Myo, M-Y-O.
Are you talking about the 370 lumen Myo?
That is the boost strength.
That's a lot of Myo.
That's a lot of Myo. But if you're looking for a lamp that you just want to say, okay, this is a 100-mile race, and you don't want to worry about that light going out, get the Myo.
Do you know what Myo stands for, Scott? It's muscle.
Well, no, duh.
Myofascial pain, muscle.
It's because this lamp is built with muscle. It's got a lot of muscle, Don.
Go to Petzl.com, look at the Myo, look at the muscle, and look at the light.
And get out and run at Petzl 30.
Dang straight. Petzl 30.
Go to audiblepodcast.com and get Pam Reed's book, The Extra Mile, One Woman's Personal Journey to Ultra Running Greatness.
We just had a podcast with Pam Reed, and she is just full of motivation and inspiration.
And you can go to audiblepodcast.com/TRN, sign up for a trial. You'll get a free, that book will be free, Don.
Go to audiblepodcast.com/TRN and download for free Pam Reed's book,
The Extra Mile.
Are we recording?
Dr. Romanoff, you're probably very experienced at professional interviews. This is not one of them.
Oh, come on. Don't put yourself down.
we are very casual. That's a good word.
Ashley, were you expecting a professional podcast?
No, I wasn't. Apparently not. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And it was a miserable, miserable day.
Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
And I am Scott War.
And today we sit at a round table with not a guest on Skype, not on a cell phone, but live and in person in what we like to call Studio G, just off the trail. And
just off the trail.
We have Robert Rhodes with us. And you'll know Robert Rhodes is the founder of the Bay Trail Runners. It's a Bay Area trail running community.
Bay Area in California, not the Green Bay area.
Thank you, Scott. Scott. Correct. He hosts trail races in this area, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And he does group and adventure runs, and I really want to lean into this adventure run stuff. And he hosts Trails in Motion Film Festival. And we came across Rob because of an introduction through our favorite nutritionist on the trail. Who's that, Scott?
Sunny Blende.
And Sunny Blende tells us we need to eat more fiber, have an apple, and have Rob Rhodes on the podcast. And we follow all three recommendations. There's no doubt about it.
Burn fat, not sugars, not carbs.
Rob, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you. Thank you.
Just so people know, we did apply a new Cocopelli to Rob's right calf. He's running Way Too Cool 50K tomorrow. We wanted to make sure he is ready. So not only does he direct races and creates communities and creates film festivals, but he's a runner too, which is important.
I'm going to take a photo of it right now. We'll post it on the podcast.
Excellent.
Please do.
Done.
Good. Rob, so let's start with what got you into running? Where did you start with running? Is it new to you? Has it been something you've done since you were in high school? Just give us a bit of a background.
Running actually came to me later on in life in my 30s. But growing,
that's later in your life? That's pretty early for most trail runners.
Compared to most of the people that I see out running these days. But no, I've always been someone who's really loved the outdoors and getting outside and being in the woods and experiencing nature. You know, I spent a couple years in Alaska, and I think that's where I really, you know, became in touch with the whole outdoors tree hugger, dirt worshipping person that I am now.
Uh-huh. What took you to Alaska?
Out of high school, I went 2 years into the Army.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and so you were stationed up there?
Yeah, Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, okay.
And spent some time in Fairbanks and around McKinley. Did some fishing down in Seward and did some hills with the group, but was never really a runner. I was okay at it, but it was forced. It wasn't anything I really liked doing when they were telling me to do it.
Right.
And yeah. So when I got out of the Army, I was like, oh, I'm never going to run a mile again. Are you kidding? That was horrible. But so the running I discovered as a web developer when I was working in San Francisco during the dot-com years, living in Tiburon, which is in Marin.
Right. Beautiful running over there in the Marin Headlands.
Yeah. Oh, outstanding, yeah. So what happened was when the dot-com crash came around, basically everybody lost their jobs. I lost mine, and I was like, well, something will come up. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take some time off and kind of experience where I live.
Yeah.
So I went out to the Headlands and started hiking around and realized, you know, I'm not covering a lot of ground here hiking. You know, this is...
There's a faster way.
And there's and you know, Marin Headlands. Around every corner, there's just some amazing view you have to see. So
when you were hiking, did you see people passing you running and going, hey, what the heck?
You know, at the time, I don't even really think that I noticed runners.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that I cared a whole lot about. Whether or not they were out there, I really don't remember.
You know, Rob, I'm with you on that. Before I started running, I really never even considered it as an option on the what to do today list. It was just, it wasn't there. And I imagine if I saw them, I would probably think they were in a hurry to get somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's about, why on a trail? You know, I would just only see them running on the road. But, you know, these days, I never see anybody running on the road. Everybody's out on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
It's because where you live, there's too much traffic. It's dangerous.
Yeah. I the bicyclists in the area know that very well.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but I started discovering that I really enjoyed running. It was in the Marin Headlands. What a beautiful place to be. But then I could no longer afford living in Tiburon. I needed a job.
Who can?
Right. So it was back down to the peninsula where I then discovered the Redwoods.
Mm. Now, just to give a little bit of background of geography of the peninsula, that's on the south side of the bay.
Yes.
San Jose area?
Well, mid-peninsula, we call it.
Oh, south of San Francisco.
Okay. Kind of set in between San Jose and San Francisco.
Got it.
And there's this beautiful belt of redwood forests that stretch for between, say, Santa Cruz all the way up to San Francisco.
Yep.
So these trails, I would then get out on, run, but I would never, I don't know how far I went. It's like, where did I go? How far was it? I don't know about the elevation. And then I decided to start looking for resources. And at that time, I mean, we're going back years before GPS was really even known.
Give us a year. So we're after .com, for those that might not know that.
About 2001.
Okay.
Okay.
But I did end up buying a Garmin. The thing weighed about, I don't know, a pound and a half.
I had that garment. You put it on the side of your arm, that piece? Or
no, even before that.
Oh.
Called an Etrex Vista.
Oh, it was a handheld.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So you had your water bottle in one hand and the Etrex in the other hand.
Yep, my Vista in one hand, water bottle in the other. Exactly. This thing just could not keep a signal.
Yeah.
You know, it was just so frustrating. But, I was determined. And, you know, I kept going out there and running, and then I just started using some of my web skills to create a website, Bay Trail Runners.
Mm. Okay.
And, you know, before you know it, I had people who were interested in what I was doing and wanted to come out and run these trails with me. And, and I said, sure, I make an excellent guide. I know the routes and look, this website even tells you, it shows you a map, the elevation. And so before you know it, I had a pretty decent following of people that would show up on the weekends that I would run with, and we'd just go and explore these beautiful trails in the Redwoods.
Did you latch on or discover any mentors out there that helped propel you into becoming the experienced trail runner that you are today?
One of the greatest experiences I had was with a friend of mine named Mike Nuttall and Gary Gellin.
Oh, yeah. We had Gary on the podcast.
It was a weekend. They both invited me to a run. And who else was there?
But, did you realize how fast they were before you?
Well, you know you're getting into?
Yeah, I had actually run with Mike. I did not know Gary. Gary, he disappeared, and I don't know where he went. But then he caught up to us again somewhere along the way, and he decided to take some
other route. He had lapped you, is what he had done.
Probably did. But the amazing person that I met that day at that run was none other than Mika True.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Caballo Blanco was there, and it was right in the beginning of that whole, the release of the book.
Yeah.
Him and the author, McDougal.
Yeah, Chris McDougal.
Yeah, uh-huh. And the other figure in the book, Red, I'm not sure of his name, drawing a blank. Well, anyway, they were doing a tour of Palo Alto and kind of promoting the book. And,
oh, okay.
And my friend Mike, who has done very well for himself in tech, had a fundraiser for Caballo and the Indians at his house.
Hmm.
And the next morning they scheduled a run in Woodside. So I went in on that, and you know, I think right there was really, really kind of a turning point to see this guy. And I hadn't known much about him, you know, at the time, but what an amazing figure he was.
Tell us a little bit about him as a runner. What did you experience? Was
the sad part about it was, is he did not run. He had, he was a barefoot runner, right? So what happened? He claimed to have injured his foot somewhere on a piece of farm equipment, which was kind of sad. But then again, he didn't see what happened to me on that run, and that was running straight into a swarm of bees.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was a bad part of the day. But he was. We listened to him talk for a little while, and you know, he talked about his role with these Indians and what he's doing down there in the Copper Canyon, and it was just really a nice story to hear.
So what year was that? Were we still in the 2000? What year did that book come out?
That was, good question. I'd say around 2004, 5.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So you had your trail legs on you, so you were, you know, fit and you know, experienced runner at that point.
Getting there.
Yeah.
Getting there. Not quite near where Gary was at, of course, but
I don't think many of us are. Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a great introduction to trail running, and your area that you're talking about is just beautiful up there. I mean, it's the scenery up there, and the redwoods, and the fog that moves in, and the gorgeous trails. Anytime you go online and just look for some just majestic looking trail, well, it could be there with the ferns and the redwoods and the groomed trail.
Well, yeah, that's I live very close to Huddart Park, which is familiar to a lot of people because that's where they do hold quite a few races. Mm-hmm. A number of groups hold races in there, and I like to call that the Aspen of trail running. You know, I mean, you can be out there, you'll fall down, someone will jump out and brush you off.
Yeah,
and you're on your way.
So you started hosting some trail races. Is that when you began to say, you know what, we've got a bunch of people here, let's put some bibs on them and do some racing?
Kind of. The racing business kind of came out of a suggestion through friends that I have on Facebook, people I didn't know. And there was a large trail running racing group that had split up, and that left a big hole in people hosting races in the Bay Area.
Right.
Now, you know, I would have loved to have just been able to have said, yeah, here I go, I'm going to start hosting races, but it's very difficult. You can't just do that. I had to form an LLC because, you know, I own a home, so we don't need anybody taking that from me.
Sure.
So we keep the businesses, start the businesses in LLC, and I mean, everything that goes into it, the insurance, you know, permits. You're competing in a market that's pretty much already saturated with races, so it took me a while to finally get to that point where I could say, okay, I'm ready to host a race.
There's a lot to putting a race together. Go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say the same thing. A lot of people, you know, complain about the race fees and think that these race directors are, you know, making a very good living off of hosting races, and the case is really not true.
Let's break some of that down, not to get into your finances, but you're paying, say, $150 to get into a race. Just say you are, $120, and you start to add up how many people that you're looking next to left and right, and you think, my goodness, you know, you could retire after a couple of races, but not the case. It costs a lot for insurance and permits.
Fees.
Just crazy costs.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, each park has different fees and how they work. Insurance will be different too. Marin Headlands is completely different. They're Golden Gate National.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have San Mateo County, which I deal with a lot. And then you have the Mid-Peninsula Open Space Preserve, which is also San Mateo.
And some of these races go through multiple counties and multiple districts, and you start to add a full book. You look like a European traveler with a passport book trying to, you know, move across.
Carrying a couple of permits, yeah. I started out small. My first race was a 10K.
Track.
No, I wish. I went right out into those woods.
And good.
My first 10K, and I had 30 people show up.
Mm.
Now, that was a success.
Oh, yeah.
These were customers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that paid me to come to my race, and, you know, everything went fine. We all finished. The timing worked. Everyone was happy. They left with a shirt, and I was like, okay, let's keep moving on this one. This year will be, on March 22nd, coming up, will be the first time I host a multiple distance race. So I call it the Whiskey Hill Redwood Run.
Mm-hmm.
And Whiskey Hill, they goes back to the days in when Woodside, San Mateo County was being clear cut for redwood. Whiskey Hill is a part of Woodside that stretches up to Skyline Boulevard, Highway 35. And I wanted to be kind of creative with a name. I just didn't want to say the Hutterd Park 10K.
No one would do that. But the Whiskey Hill.
The Whiskey Hill Redwood Run, you know? Yeah. Give it some
That's
Redwood.
A shirt worth wearing.
You get exactly. Some people that were going to sign up for the beer run, the beer mile, and got messed up, right?
So I said, okay, this time I'm doing the 10K and half.
Hmm.
So that's going on the 22nd. The other half marathon I race is called the Whistle Punk. And that's in Parissima Creek Redwoods. Now, that is an old logging forest back, we're talking Gold Rush,
mm-hmm.
back when they were cutting the redwoods down to build the city of San Francisco. Whistle Punk was a person who would sound the horn when a tree was about to come down. So that's why I named it that. That's a half marathon.
So tell us, what kind of satisfaction do you get from racing?
That was my exact question. Yeah, I wrote it down right here. That's great, Scott.
We've been hanging around each other way too
Maybe
long.
I should let you finish the question and see if it was the same. Go ahead.
Tell us the difference between running a race, actually running, not organizing, running a race and organizing as a race director. What? Tell us about the differences in feelings and satisfaction.
Yeah, well, I don't run a lot of races. I have a few favorites. You know, this weekend, of course, Way Too Cool, which is a favorite of mine. I have run quite a few 50Ks. I've run only one marathon,
mm-hmm.
and it was in Big Sur. And, you know, to my surprise, I came in sixth.
Hmm.
And I said, okay, I can do a marathon.
Yeah,
I'm going to step it up to the 50K distance. And then the 50K was the first one I did was in Woodside. I remember running alongside Scott Dunlap for a little while.
Mm.
And then he disappeared, of course, while he took 100 photos.
Yep.
And then and I came in 11th in that. And, you know, it's a challenging run in Woodside.
Uh-huh.
So running races... you know, sometimes I get to the point where if you're not having a good day, it's just, it's not a pleasant feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Things hurt, you're getting sore, your morale is just crushed. That hosting a race is completely different. You're not out there running, getting beat up. But it's a mental drain.
Uh-huh.
People are coming to you with their requests, their concerns, whereas it's just me out there running.
Mm.
I'm only dealing with my crap.
In directing, there's a lot of the work that goes in before the actual starting gun goes off. You're putting a lot of time and volunteers and organizing and doing the permits and getting everything ready.
Yeah. The and you go to a race that's all been done for you. I mean, How simple is that? You put on a bid. But yeah,
that's why it costs you money. There's a value there.
Yeah, and you break down, you know, with the permit, the insurance, the cost of shirts, the food, all the supplies that go into building a race. When you break down and what each runner is actually paying and look at the numbers, you know, you can see that obviously we're doing it because it's a passion of ours. We're not, you know, out there trying to. I mean, there are race directors who are doing very well, of course, but at this stage, for me right now, it's more just that passion that I have the feeling of community. I mean, I have whole families that come out together and and run these races, and they're coming back on the 22nd, you know, and it's just, you know, to see a kid really happy, enjoying himself out in the trails. That's really what I like.
So, I mean, it's a labor of love. Let's get back. It's now a dozen years down the road from when you started the Bay Trail Runners. How many people, I mean, do you join up? Are there members of Bay Trail Runners? Or how many people come out on these group runs?
It's gone through quite a few transitions over the years. You know, I had a person who would help organize some of my group runs. And I would have on Saturdays, I would do... You know, these were the faster, more aggressive, longer distance runs. Sundays were my what I called the tenderfoot group because, well, they're new to the trail. Mm-hmm, and so, and at one point I had quite a large following on the weekends. You know, and I really hate to say it, but because of what I've been doing with the races and the film festival, which we'll get into, I just haven't had a lot of time. And I've kind of moved away from actually scheduling the group runs, not because I don't like doing it. It's just that it's really hard to get going together.
You have people for that.
Well, there's volunteering, and then there's just coming out for something that you really haven't. You don't have a commitment to really showing up for a group run is, you know, you haven't paid any money to come out, so. It was so hard for me to set up a group run, do all this work, and then have like no one come out.
Mm-hmm. Rob, I'm going to come to your defense on these group trail run. You have found a different way to inspire people on a larger scale than just group runs. You're creating the website. We're going to talk about the film festival. So you're reaching globally, where before you could only reach within the peninsula. You are now on, you know, the third rock from the sun.
Spreading out, yeah. I manage an email list, which is now over 700. Uh-huh. So anytime I send out any kind of event news or whatever's going on, I'm reaching quite a few people. Getting them to open the email, that's the other, that can be a problem too.
Tell us about, you know, again, you've been doing this for over a dozen years now. Have you seen a dramatic growth in the number of people that are interested in trail running, and how has that community or that population changed, if it has?
That wasn't my question, Scott, but I wish it was. That's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah. tremendous growth. Like I was saying earlier, you know, you used to see them running on the road. Now everybody's kind of tuned into this whole trail running.
Yeah.
And it has, it's just gotten, you know, I don't know numbers off the top of my head, but how it's grown over just the past, say, 3 years even.
But I haven't found the trail crowded. I mean, I'm out there running, and
there's a lot of real estate out there.
Yeah, it's not like we're out of room. That we talk about the trail community growing, but it is our trails can take this group, I think.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I like the fact that I can go out and run through Second Growth Redwoods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For 3 hours and maybe see one or two people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great. But you know, we worry too. Are we opening up these woodlands with this, you know, exposing these with the amount of growth that there's going on in trail and ultras? More and more people are going to be out there, and
I think that's one of the valuable things of what you're doing by organizing the group runs and the website is educating people that they're not just going out there and trashing the trails or misusing or abusing the trails. They're stewards of the trail. They're trying to protect that pristine nature. You know, one thing that I was down in Santa Cruz for business for 3 or 4 days, and I was able to go run some of those trails on the redwoods there. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that's a very populated area. Mm-hmm. You know, that South Bay area. I mean, there's a lot of people there.
The freeway was in gridlock. You're trying to get to the trail.
Exactly. But once I got on the trail, I didn't see a soul. And I thought, you know what? There are a lot of places to run around here. If I can be out here on the trail and not see any, for like 2 hours, I didn't see anybody.
How important is that for us to have a place to go? I mean, just as a human being, we're not talking, you know, I mean, just to get away and to disconnect. Because there's something about getting on the trail that allows you to disconnect. If you let yourself, it's not hard to do, and I guess you can learn it. But you can, all of a sudden, whatever, maybe bills or reports that's due, they all seem to just kind of just disappear instantly. And that's the kind of the cool thing about,
you know,
the trail.
I slept in this morning, as Don will attest. We were supposed to go running this morning. And
uh-oh. I ran.
And did you?
Of course.
You're a good
just
man.
Just so I could say that on this podcast.
You're a good man.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I didn't hear the alarm. I didn't wake up. And I needed that run this morning more than anything, just to clear my mind. Had a busy morning with work and stuff. But I needed that run. I think you're right. We need to be out there.
We're going to find something. Yeah. And if it isn't the trail, then we're going to find the Whiskey Hill bottle or something to kind of disconnect. There's ways we disconnect, and some are good and some are bad. And trail running is a good way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. You know, you're outdoors. How many times have you gone out on a run? You know the route that you're doing. But at one point, you're completely lost in your thoughts. And you look up and you're like, geez, you know, where am I now? What trail is this? And, you know, that happens.
Have I been past that point yet? Like you're running along. Have I gone past that rock yet? Gosh, no, I left for a while and now I'm back, and you totally go.
Yeah. Or discovering things that were on that trail. I don't know how many times Don and I have run this, this run here up in Auburn. And I never noticed that there's these heart trees. Trees with little heart-shaped rocks in them. I never had seen that before.
Yeah, it's because you were looking at the ground.
Well, it was because I was kind of blacking out. The vision was closing in on me.
And then you got a Petzl, and everything was bright for you, right? Nice. There you go. Yeah.
I want to talk about when we first were introduced to Robert. I was looking up this film festival, and that's where I was like blown away. I mean, I love videos and movies about trail running, and this seems like it is the repository or the library of all things trail.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this thing.
Well,
and how you're involved in
okay
it.
So Trails in Motion Film Festival was founded by James Hallett, who you know from Go Trail Media, and
right,
he's in South Africa. Now, going back to something we talked to earlier about how I was trying to, you know, establish Bay Trail Runners as a community and build group runs and races.
Right.
Well, it was hard. I was looking and searching for another way where I could, you know, get involved and get more exposure to the trail running and ultra community.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to be, you know, on a Sunday morning just looking around Facebook, and I saw this Trails in Motion Film Festival, South Africa. And I immediately just sent this guy an email saying, you know, this needs to happen in the Bay Area. Do you know what's going on here? And he knew. He knows.
He's plugged in.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
And so within, God, like 10 minutes, I had a response. We started planning. How he's like, can you do this? I'm like, sure, yeah, I can do it. I had no idea what I was doing.
Had you had any experience in film or?
I've only in front of the lens. I've done a lot of work with. I did some work with Pearl Izumi, Boa, North Face. Just doing some work with photographers in different locations in Marin, and where I live. So that's it. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this film festival, I said, you know, wow, what a great way. We need to get this here in the San Francisco Bay Area. This is just, you know, an incredible part. So, again, I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. I thought I would do it once,
mm-hmm.
just do it a mm-hmm. one-time deal. And so I was saying, well, you know, how hard could it be to just get people who love running, who love watching great movies about running, in a venue where I could probably get some food and drink some beer. And I mean, that's not going to be hard, is it?
You know, yeah,
I said, that is easy. There's tons of us out here. And so the planning went on, and I set my sights on San Francisco, and I wanted to kind of host it around an event where there was going to be some buzz already going on about mm-hmm. about a race. So that's when I got a hold of Tia Boddington,
mm-hmm.
and I said, I'd like to host this film festival, and I'd like you to come and, you know, be a guest, and I want it to be close to your race. There's, because I want to have some people in town. People are going to come.
So people know Tia is a icon in the trail running community. She used to be an editor of Ultra Running Magazine, and she hosts the Miwok, right?
Correct.
Miwok 100K, and what other races does she do?
That's about it right now.
The Miwok 100K is one of the
gold standard
100Ks, and been around for a long, long time.
Yeah, I've never run that distance, but I stayed a 50K. I think this year actually is I'm going to do my first 50 miler.
It's just double the distance.
Just 250Ks.
Yeah, I'll do 50 miles.
Just break it up into 250Ks. When you finish, just you're it's an out and back.
I'll do it. So I set the date for 3 nights before Miwok in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
in the marina, right there at the Golden Gate Bridge at this sports basement.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And my good friend Mike Strickland, he helped me organize this. I had over 200 people show up for this.
Did you have a film?
Which film was this?
Yeah,
you've got a great idea, but what film?
Yeah, this was, was last this on year's tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this, last year's tour. There were, I think, a total of 11 movies. It went a little long for some people. 11 movies were long, but
you showed 11 movies in one sitting?
Exactly.
Wow.
No, these are trail runners. They can do it.
They're ultra movie watchers.
Yeah.
And free beer.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So did you have couches for people to pass out on?
Cots. Like an aid station.
It was sports basement. They had sleeping bags.
Yeah, tents, all set up.
Can we pause for a second and talk a little bit and go back a decade when you started running and around the time that we started running too in the longer distance stuff? And the only movie that was out there to grab on for inspiration that I recall was Race for the Soul. Mm-hmm. It was produced, Western States, kind of a documentary, and it had Gordy on there and Tim Tweetmeyer and some of the other runners that are there and showing aid stations, and you watch it and then you'd watch it again and then you maybe, you know, start in the middle so you could see something different, and that was about it. There was another movie, I think Badwater.
Yeah, I've seen the Badwater.
But
yeah,
that was about it. It wasn't like there is today. Things have really changed drastically. Can you address that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, they have. The first running movie I ever saw, of course, was Chariots of Fire, and I saw that. I saw that in Boston the day it was released.
Wow!
It had no effect on me at that point in my life. I was just way too young to really understand that. Then that was it.
Do you have that song on your playlist when you run?
I actually heard it yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Well, yeah, yeah. Why was I? I was looking for some quotes out of that movie. Yeah, for some reason or another. But yeah, then the song came up and, of course, I have the DVD, and mm-hmm. but that was it. The first movie that I saw that really grabbed a hold of me running was in last year's tour.
Mm.
It's called Running the Edge, and it was done by Matt Trappi and Scott Heime, who he's the runner in it, and he set out to do the break the record for the Colorado Trail.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this was a heavy hitter. But the tour also was with In the High Country with Anton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about what is this? I mean, it's a tour. You know, I'm going to one of the movies that you're hosting tomorrow night.
You're actually going to the Auburn Running Company's hosting
I apologize. Yes, we're going to cut that
long,
out.
The long haul. Yeah, I'm going. I'll be there. So the trail running, this film festival I do, Trails in Motion, it's really a great forum for, you know, like-minded individuals who really have and share a passion for trail running and ultra, who love to see amazing visuals. Some of the movie film producers in this tour just come up with some really amazing footage of runners. One of the things, you know, you think about movies in Hollywood and cinema, and you're always, you know, they always try to make this everything look just so beautiful and peaceful, and the runner's always in a perfect stride, and we go through all of that in a lot of these films, but some of them are very personal. You will see, you know, the headliner is Nikki Kimball and Finding Traction, which is just an amazing film. I mean, you have to see this movie, and you know, you kind of forget about that whole Hollywood part of film. Things that she discusses in this movie and parts of her life that she talks about, and it's just, it's like nothing I'd have ever seen in the past.
And I've seen the trailer on that. Some great angles, some great views, amazing. The director or producer, Jamie
Jameson.
Yeah, we've had her on too, talking about it. And we went to the sports basement a couple of years back, I think, and sat with Jimmy Dean Freeman was there. And we talked to Nikki and to Jamie both about the movie. And they were trying to put it together and raise funds for it.
Yeah, they did. I missed that. That was a fundraiser that they put on, I guess, at sports basement, where I also host the film festival. Yeah, and it was a success.
Do you find there's more content out there, more videos, more movies about running? Are you finding, traditionally it's been the runners that have been doing it. You know, we look at Billy Yang. I mean, he's a great runner, and he's just started making some really, really cool videos and movies. Do you see that it's the runners that are doing this, or do you see that Hollywood is coming in and seeing that there's a big population here? Let's take advantage of this, a good audience that we can put our Hollywood spin on it.
Yeah. I think both.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely the film industry is catching on to it.
How about vendors like, you know, Petzl and, you know, Ultra and any of these other North Face, some of these vendors putting their investment dollars to get their brand out there?
Yeah, well, I know North Face has done quite a few. Mm-hmm. They did recently with Tim Olson and Rory. So, what was that one called? They were out in Mont Blanc. Do you remember the name of that?
I don't.
Curiosity.
Oh.
You have to see that movie. It's very, very good.
I think I need to go follow this tour. There's a lot of movies out there I haven't seen.
Well, Curiosity is not part of this tour.
I'm striking out here, Don. Sorry.
There's three strikes. You've got two. Go easy.
Okay.
So when I think of a film, I think of 2 hours and 5 minutes, you know, but what are we, what is the, you know, requirements for a film? How long does it need to be, or should it be?
They're shorts. These movies range 3 minutes to an hour. The submission process really didn't go into anything about how long they need to be.
Just need to be good and interesting, right?
Exactly. There needs to be something that you want to really watch, engaging.
Yeah.
So if you're a runner or a producer and you want to get involved in doing this, I mean, tell us. I was looking at the Trails in Motion website, and there's a contest. You could submit your video or movie, and there's some judging and some prize money available.
Yeah, break that down for us.
So the Trails in Motion Film Festival submissions for the actual festival open up on May 1st, and these are your professional filmmakers that are submitting to be in this festival. I'm not a part of the submission process. I don't review it. James claims I think he sits around the fire with his kids and watches these movies. But they get sent to South Africa, where he then will look through a pool of all these submissions. Now, he said he was just inundated with films. I mean, tons of them. And it took him forever to screen through. And there were some that he just really was, you know, wanted but couldn't do. And so that's how it works for the Trails in Motion Film Festival. He'll come down, he'll narrow it down. And, you know, what we listened to what some of the guests had said in the past. And last year's one of the complaints was it went a little long. Another funny story was when I was leaving the San Francisco, there was the international, the first one that was done internationally. I was leaving. I'm going to my car. I'm the last one out of the venue. And I see this other car in the parking lot just kind of with the light on inside. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, geez, who's sitting out here? And I walk by the car and someone just yells out, "Hey, Rob." And I go over and they're like, "Hey, how come you don't have more movies about women?" So we took that into account. You know, these are all things. So this year there's very strong female influence in the tour. So, you know, he had to think about that during the submission process too. You know, because we all know. I mean, you know, think about who are you seeing these days in all these movies. You know, you got Killian and Krar and Tim Olsen, all these guys that look great, but you know, there needed to be that female
presence.
Yes, there was. So the one you were talking about, the other part of it, which is called the Dirty Runner Film Society. That was just something that Trails in Motion has come up with, and that's for amateurs who are runners, who love to go out and just shoot videos with their GoPro or be whatever camera they'd like to use, where they can now have a chance to submit their work to us. The winner can win $500, and we're going to screen it at the December 3rd San Francisco Trails in Motion Film Festival. That's two nights before the North Face Endurance Challenge. Now, do you know how many people are in town for that thing?
A lot.
Incredible. Yeah. So he Trails in Motion, they'll be coming up from South Africa for that event.
Oh, great. You know, I think one of the things that comes to mind why there's so much more content is like Final Cut Pro, just as a video editing software tool that you can get for the price of two pairs of Hokas, that you can start to make some very professional looking things, and the cameras that are available, heck, on the phone, there's some decent cameras that you can collect and start to edit and make some great shots.
Sure. They do. They, you know, I saw a movie, you know, Sage Kanade did a nice one, and I saw his, out in Colorado, and he did, it's about mountain ultra trail running. And, He did a great job.
Do you have different categories like documentary or comedy or any of that type of stuff?
There has been some attempts, I think, at comedy. I saw a few things that Seb Chenault had done, and I don't know if they're working out or not. But they're shorts and documentaries. The shorts are just your little three to 5 minute. And then documentaries might go, you know, 15 and above.
If we had our own Trail in Motion Oscars, what would the Oscar look like? What would we have? Wow. Would they be belt buckles, or would they be a runner? Or what do you envision?
Yeah, that's a good one. I have not thought of that.
I'm thinking the Coca-Pelli.
That was, yeah. In fact, we have one in this book here.
Rob's sitting here with the book. Describe what the book is, and I will tell you, I have that on my nightstand, and because as I was looking through books, and I've delayed a bit on reading it, but it just calls to attention.
Do you really have that on your book stand?
Yeah, I'll take a picture of it.
I will. I don't believe you.
Okay.
Well, it's called Why We Run, and it's by Bernd Heinrich, who his goal was to win in 1981, go out and win at the time it was in Chicago. It was the International 100K Championship. They were holding it in Chicago in 1981. So the book talks a lot about that and his journey to, I won't tell you whether or not he does it, but about his journey to, you know, to go to this race. he's a biologist, and he studies nature and animals. So a lot of the book has to do with the energy system of systems of animals and humans and how close we are. In the end, finding out that as humans, you know, we can actually outrun, it's not speed-wise, but outrun some animals, you know, and but it's a great story. But in it, and you brought up the Coccopelli here, there's a page of some cave paintings he found, and you can take a look at that.
Scott, what comes to mind when you look at the
looks
page?
Looks a little bit like what I have here on my calf.
Yeah, it looks like cave pictographs
of the Coccopelli. A bit more crude than the fine detail that we see in today's.
He's overstriding a little bit,
but
the whole the meaning behind this cave painting is that if you look at the series of shots, there's five paintings. In the end, it's the man in victory.
After the finish line, yes. Raising his hands. It's that photo of coming through the finish line.
Exactly. And that's what it is, right? Yeah. That's what he talks about.
So that there, even, you know, I don't quite know how far this dates back to, but
we've been running for a long time,
a very
and
long
competing
time.
For a long time against others and against ourselves and against gravity. And it's something that's just hardwired into our DNA. And that's why we love doing it today.
Yeah.
And we can't get away from that.
No, we can't. And, you know, this book, Why We Run, in Trails in Motion Film Festival, one of the movies is called Why We Run. And it's about the author, Bernd Heinrich, who now lives out in the backwoods in western Maine. In a log cabin.
That's what attracted me to the book, was not only the cover and the title, but it just validated why we go out there and put ourselves out there early in the morning or late at night or on a long Saturday or Sunday run. We just are runners by nature.
Yeah, we are.
Cool.
We're human. We're built as a human. We're built for that endurance too. You read it and you can. You'll learn a lot about human energy systems.
And Chris McDougall kind of talked about that in his book, Born to Run, and talked about what I really thought was fascinating was persistence hunting, and the fact that the great hunters are able to flush out of the herd the same animal and keep chasing it. The ones that aren't such great hunters that herd could protect itself by sending a fresh set of legs out there, and we'd never wear that animal down. But the great hunters could flush that animal out, keep chasing it until it finally hit exhaustion. And what's interesting is that it takes about, according to their research, because they went and found some of these persistent hunting groups, and they found it takes about 4 hours for one of these animals to hit exhaustion. And if you look at the bell curve of what it takes for people to finish this marathon, it's about 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And so it's just so interesting that where we're hardwired from all of these many, many generations, that there may be a reason why we're 25,000 of us are attracted to these marathons and we run for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. It's just what we do. So I always thought that's fascinating.
So what animal were the ultra runners running after?
Antelope, you know, whatever.
Yeah, antelope.
Or you're doing a 10-hour, a 24-hour.
The problem, those are the inexperienced hunters. They were chasing fresh legs all the time. It was the experienced runners that got it done in 4.
Okay.
And they can do that.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. So, go ahead.
Yeah, so that was the first book I ever read about running. Now, when I saw the list of films that were in this year's tour, and I saw that, I mean, I was just thrilled. I go, that was the first movie I watched. The way it works is each host will get a download way that we can download all the films that we're going to be touring with, and we can watch them before we show them to anybody else, and at least learn a lot about the films before we go out on tour with them. And that was the first one I had to watch.
If I was excuse me, Scott, if I was listening to this podcast and I'm hungry for viewing some of these great films, do I have access to this? Can I find a place? How can I participate just as a viewer?
Well, you can come to one of my screenings. I'm doing 10 in the Bay Area. I'm also heading up to Orcas Island with Candace Bird at the Orcas Marathon and Trail Running Festival. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I get to run a marathon for free too. How about that? With 6,200 feet of gain.
And Don, if you go to trailsinmotion.com,
okay. Yeah.
There is a map here of all of the screenings. They are all over the world.
Yes.
North America, South America, there's Europe, South Africa, New Zealand. Looks like over there in Japan.
Even in, they're everywhere.
It's island in the Atlantic Ocean. I don't even know what that island is.
I think that was the Azores.
I've never even heard of that.
That's out there. There's over 100 screenings globally in 26 different countries.
Wow.
And even this is the thing I haven't had a chance to look at, but also at trailsinmotion.com, it has 9 of the films, and you can click on those and see a short clip of
trailers.
Each of the
trailers, cool.
Including
trailers.
The one that we were just talking about, Why We Run.
Well, this is important for us to know about. You know, I was oblivious to this whole community and art form, if you will. And so I think it's good that we're talking about it.
So if you have a short 5 minutes and 38 seconds before you go on your training run, or if you're racing way too cool tomorrow, you could go on here and get jazzed up. Get pumped up. Watch a movie.
Definitely.
Watch a little clip.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
That really does help motivate, I think. You know, when I premiered last year in San Francisco a couple nights before Miwok, I think that was really a good way for people to get amped up about that race.
Well, when haven't you viewed some trailer or some movie or just, you know, been in that type of media environment that you don't want to get out there and do a little bit of running? I mean, it just fuels you up. It kind of gets the juices going, if there are such thing as running juices.
You know, there was another gentleman that started a film festival, a guy that I used to work for. He's an actor, producer, director. Maybe you've heard of him, Robert Redford. He started a small film festival in Utah called the Sundance Film Festival, and it's now one of the largest film festivals that for independent filmmakers. I wonder if this may grow into something that big.
Scott, I'm not going to let you get too far away from that comment. You worked for Robert Redford?
Of course.
Did you say that?
I did.
Do I have to run that back to listen to that?
You knew I did.
I don't know any about this.
Yes,
I know,
you did.
I know that you were a ski instructor up in the mountain. I know you did that.
I worked for Bob for 12 years.
Did you meet him physically and say,
"Heck yeah.
Why do you tell me this stuff? I've run with
that.
You." No. You've told me, you've worn out some stories that I'm polite enough not to say you've told me, but you've never told me that.
I'm sorry.
Well, we have some running to do, pal.
I'm not a name dropper.
Well, you should start.
Okay.
Well, you're in the right place. You know, if you have to pick it up and your back gets sore, where are we? We're in
a chiropractic office.
Yeah, exactly. So.
it converts into a podcast studio.
Well, I'll tell you, there's two things that I'm coming away from this. I'm over in the Bay Area periodically.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know where to go to find a weekend or a weeknight run. Or just to go and find out where should I go. That's the one thing that I just wish is there's a repository. If I'm, you know, I'm going up to Portland and Seattle later this month, where do I go run? And I thank you for doing that with the Bay Trail Runners. And then the other thing is I have at least 9 trailers I need to watch tonight.
Mm.
Yeah, you can see them. Yeah,
yeah.
You watch them.
You know what else I think is important about these videos is that you may have a spouse that doesn't really see what you've seen the middle of a run. You know,
they see it at the aid station.
Or when you come back from a 4-hour run and you've been up in the mountains, but they really don't see what you've seen in the middle of that. Some of the views,
right.
Some of the climbs, yeah. You can't express that. You can't express that with just words alone. And seeing that could validate what you're doing, and they'll help support that. Or they may become runners themselves, and you can inspire spouses or friends or significant others or just other people to go out and embrace this trail community.
And it gives you another resource or tool when someone says, "You do what? You know, here, watch this.
Yeah.
Watch this clip.
I do this. Yeah. You can only see this if you run.
Yeah.
You know, the reward. This reward is the work that you put in to get there.
Sure.
Only one way to get it.
Yeah, and I think that's, for me, probably about 90% of why I go out and do this, the running that I do and in the places that I go. it's the beauty of what you do see out there, that in between that you're talking about.
Janet, my wife is a trail runner. Heck, she's out there tomorrow at the Way to Cool, and our screensaver at home is maybe up there in your area of a trail runner. All you see is the back, but you see just all the redwoods and the ferns and on a single track, and it's a nondescript runner because you just see the back, and he's obviously a trail runner. But it just sits there and it just calls to you like, that's the place to be. That's a beautiful. It's going right around a turn and you're just looking at it. You're going, yeah, I'd like to be there. So imagery.
It keeps you from logging into Facebook and wasting hours and hours and pushes you out the door.
No, we still go to the good trail running websites, but it reminds us which websites we should go to.
Well, you know, Robert, I want to thank you because, you know, the reason we started Trail Runner Nation is we knew that we needed a forum to share trail knowledge. And I think that you... It was to bring people that were smart together to share with the community. And I think, you know, you've had the same passion, the same drive, and found it a different way to do it through the Bay Trail Runners, through this film festival. And, you know, it's just wonderful. We're bringing the community together. We're educating the community and trying to keep the culture that our friend Bob Crowley is so passionate about. We need to make sure that we keep that culture because it's so unique.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, you know, again, it's just, it's growing. It's huge. This is really like my first time going into Auburn, which is, you know, the ultra capital
love it.
Of the world. Yeah,
One of the hubs. One of the many, many hubs. I mean, you have it up there in Oregon and Washington and Colorado.
Flagstaff.
Well, we got a bunch of them. And in the East Coast. We can't forget about our East Coast. And across
London.
London.
Now, Japan, there's something we should talk about because a few guys out in Japan have taken this film festival, and they're doing probably about 30 screenings.
Are they anime or are they real people?
Yeah, right. You should see their setup. They kind of do what I do. I pick venues where I can host it. It costs a little money, like tonight, where we'll be at the State Theater in Auburn, one of my screenings, and I'm just thrilled to be doing this. Is with the Western States Memorial Day Weekend Training Run.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, really excited. That's that will be in Auburn on May 24th. It's the Sunday after the running. They do the Cal Street portion of Western States. After that run is finished, I'm going to be over at the State Theater in Auburn showing this Trails in Motion Film Festival. And, you know, you can buy, the tickets are sold on Ultra Sign Up. We may sell some at the door, but I don't know. I mean, this thing may sell out.
Oh,
It's going to be huge.
Will there be ice baths there for people recovering from the trail?
Do you think they'll need them after a 20-miler? Huh?
Well, it's the cumulative running because that's the great Western States Training Weekend where you start at Robinson Flat and then end up seeing the entire trail, you know, for a mile, 32 or something, down to the end, and it breaks it up into three runs.
So this will be after the final day.
After the final day. You said
Sunday.
It's the sun. Yeah, there's
in between,
one more day.
So it's between. What a great way to celebrate on that weekend and have a great community involvement.
Oh, yeah.
It was good stuff.
Yeah. So every screening that I do, all tickets are all on sale right now, and there's a couple that are moving. You know, some of them are still sitting still, but the ones are moving. I mean, you know, that one, Memorial Day. The other big one that I'm really excited about is in San Rafael. And that's this is two nights before Miwok. It's Miwok's 20th anniversary, so we'll have Tia there again. But I rented 3210 Studios, which is the original George Lucas screening room where they watched Star Wars. And I mean, you know, you're talking about this historic filming room, and the screen's 36 feet wide.
You know, I think I'm going to get my tickets before we release this podcast.
I'm so looking forward to that one. The lineup of guests, you know, I'm going to have Magda Baleo be there.
Wow.
Tia, Jorge Maravilla, Victory Sport Design, all the crew from San Francisco Running Company.
Great group.
I'm even bringing in some paparazzi for this one. I've got my friend Mary Burnson. She does regional photography for Trail Runner magazine. She'll be in there just snapping some pictures, really give it that kind of red carpet feel.
Yeah.
And got a food truck coming in. Thanks to Brett Rivers for supplying some beer that night.
Uh-huh.
So how do we get where do we get tickets? Do we go to Trails in Motion? Do we go to Ultra Sign Up? Where do we go?
Yeah, you can. If you go to Trails in Motion, you'll see a list of all the screenings that are going on worldwide. And God, I've got about 13 of them, I think.
Yeah.
And you just click on the link, buy tickets, and it'll take you. I do my ticketing through Ultra Sign Up.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a screening I do, you can also look it up on.
So if you're going to Ultra Sign Up, how do you find a screening?
Yeah,
I
mean, you type in Trails in Motion in their search box. And
okay.
It'll come up.
Okay.
So .com kind of crashed down. The bubble burst for a lot of people. Have you found a job yet?
Not really. You know, I'm one of those dirtbags, I guess.
Nice.
They call us. I really wanted, you know, one of the great things about .com was you could show up in shorts and a tee, and I wanted that look still. I wanted to keep that.
I think you found your new occupation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I kept the dot. Now, tech is, I mean, I can still, you know, do some work with it, but I don't.
I think you found the perfect spot. That's what my question meant. You landed in perfectly for your experience and your passion, so that's so awesome to see. Yeah. It's obvious you don't need a tech job. You are right where you can serve.
Yeah, yeah. It's really been a lot of fun. And now, you know, with this tour, it's just it's opened up a lot of great opportunities. I mean, even being here is great. You know,
Rob, we're honored. This is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we owe it to Sunny Blende for doing this. Now, this was how I met her. I mean, Tia had invited me to. She wanted to go do a just some recon on Miwok to make sure that her trails and we're all set and everything was good, and I said, yeah, I'll come and join you. And you know, I met Sunny and Anna, so we ran together, and that's
we know
how
Anna.
I just,
Anna
yeah.
Braga,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so there I was with these three great women running around you know, the Marin Headlands.
You could do worse.
I could, yeah.
You could do worse. You could run with Gary, try to keep up with Gary. Yeah,
I gave that up a while ago.
So
she, you know, Sunny suggested it, and that's how it came about. I mean, but you know, this and all the people that I'm meeting. I mean, last year was just an incredible experience I had with so many guests. You know, gosh, one of them was like Scott Hyme again from got him out from Colorado with the film producer. So having them at the actual show was really, really, really nice.
And that's the cool thing about our community. When we all get a chance to, and everyone can, because the elites in our communities are not out of touch. They're just good people, you know, and the reason they became elites and they're because they're grounded
and approachable. And, so
yeah,
approachable.
Yeah. So everybody's such a great surprise when you find the icons are just like you and me and the rest, the rest of the folks.
Yeah.
Just faster.
Yeah, just faster.
much, yeah. So, you know, I do, you know, one of the things I also do is I have my gear. I have gear. I bought a screen. I've got the whole PA system. I can travel with this. If there's a plug in the wall, I can show this thing.
Nice.
To anybody. So, you know, if there's any other RDs, race directors out there who, you know, might be interested.
Cool.
What a great way to kick off a race.
Oh, yeah.
A little film festival right before, the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that or after even. Because it's going to be a good party up on Orcas Island.
Scott and I have about an hour. Can you plug that thing in?
It's going to take 2.5.
All right.
We got to wait for the sun to go down, Don.
All right.
We can watch Finding Traction anyway. That one goes an hour. So.
Trail Runner Nation, you have heard it here. It's time to go out and see some films. And
all of you should check out Trails in Motion and find a screening near you, because there are a ton of them.
Yeah, support your local trail brothers and sisters that are making this great media and the content that's out there. It's great. And support Rob in his efforts to communicate culture, preserve culture, and create, as you did in the very beginning with your trail running groups, community, trail community. Yeah. And we salute you, sir, for that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in.
Of course.
And good luck tomorrow. We'll see you at the starting line.
I'm going for my sub 5 this time. Got to do it.
Good. Well, we happen to know the announcement. We'll make sure that it's sub 5 when you come through, regardless of the time. All right?
All right.
Have you heard about Goat Hill?
I ran this last year.
Oh, okay.
I have a strategy this year. You guys moved it, right?
Goat Hill?
Yeah. No, it's still in the same spot, and it's still the same climb.
Damn.
It's and they're still the same person at the top in a ballerina outfit, I think, right?
Oh, just to make you feel bad.
Yeah. Grab on to a tree and pull yourself up Goat Hill. Trail Runner Nation, go out and watch films.
Moss.